In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning continues our text from the book of the prophet Isaiah, as we've been looking at the pictures and signs that he gave for the New Testament church when the Savior came. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, our Savior. The Lord made King Ahaz of Judah an offer which Ahaz should not have passed up. God commanded the unbelieving king, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." Earlier, God had told King Ahaz that the Syrians and Egyptians, which were taking up arms against Judah, would not succeed in their plans against the house of David. And now, God offered the king a visible sign as a pledge to the truth of that word which he had previously spoken to him. Ahaz, however, was an unbelieving and wicked king. He responded to this command of the Lord, "Ask," very much in the same way the man in Jesus' parable of the tenants responded when he buried his money in the ground rather than putting it to use. Ahaz and the man in the parable of the tenants really was saying to God, "I don't want to really test you. I don't really want to try your patience. And so I'm not going to obey or use what you are offering to me." It is not a sin. It's not testing the Lord or tempting the Lord to do something that he himself commands us to do. But rather than forsake Ahaz in his impatience and anger against this king's unbelief, the Lord decided that he himself would give Ahaz and the people, the house of David, a sign anyway. And that sign would be with two parts. The second part would be a sign that Ahaz and the people would see within the next 9 months, as God kept his word of preventing the Syrians and the Egyptians from success against Judah. But the other promise, the other prophecy was one that Ahaz and the house of David that was living then would not see. It is a sign and a prophecy, however, that you and I have seen and, in fact, celebrate. And God willing, plan to celebrate it this coming Tuesday. And that sign is God's unique appearance among his people. It is an appearance that attests to the truth of his word. And it is an appearance that takes place that comes through a virgin. The Lord wanted King Ahaz to stop doubting his word and trust it. One of the ways that God attests to the truth of his word is by offering a sign, by offering a command. In this case, ask for a sign. We're reminded, aren't we, of when God and the prophet Malachi also commanded his people to offer their tithes and offerings. And then God said, commanded, test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. When God gives us a command, ask, knock, seek, test me. It is not sinful for us. It is not in a bad way tempting God or testing God to obey His command. In fact, if we are like that man in Jesus' parable, and if we're like King Ahaz, we also would be guilty of sin by not obeying it, and then trying to justify our actions by claiming that we're really being good servants by not putting our Lord and Master to the test. When we're effectively saying to Him, we're not going to do what you command us to do. As we read this prophecy, we notice that there are two changes in the prophecy as it is presented. First of all, the second part of the prophecy was given only to King Ahaz. But the first part of the prophecy changes in that it was not given only to King Ahaz, but it was given also to the whole house of David. For they too had not only tried the patience of their human leaders with their idolatry, but they had also tested the patience of God in their unbelief and faithlessness. And so the prophecy changes from one man to the house of David, and ultimately the prophecy is for all people. And then the other change takes place in the name that is given for God. In the first part, when God gives the prophecy directly to Ahaz, He refers to Himself as the Lord, all capital letters, the Tetragrammaton, God's name of mercy. But when Isaiah gives the second part, or the first part of the prophecy about the virgin, in Hebrew, and it's reflected also in the English, the Lord changes from all capital letters to Lord with only a capital letter. And that, in Hebrew, is God's name of power, God's name of providence and provision. So really, the prophecy, the God of love, is saying here particularly, it is His power, it is His zeal, it is His working that would bring about this sign. And it would be a miracle that a virgin would be with child, and she would have a son, and that son would be given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Ahaz and the house of David at that time saw the second part of the prophecy come true within 9 months. But they did not see the first part of the sign come true, which we have, and by God's grace, which we believe. But this sign of the virgin still stands as a testimony of judgment against Ahaz's unbelief and against the house of David's unbelief and the unbelief of all Israel today who rejects Christ as the Messiah, who rejects Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of Isaiah's words. God's appearance, God's unique appearance among His people attests to the truth of His word. God said, I'm going to send that miracle of that virgin bearing a child, and you and I have seen and believe God keep His word. There is no greater attesting to the truth of God's word than the birth of the Son of God of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. It is God's unique appearance among His people. His appearance comes through a virgin. The prophet Isaiah, speaking of the day we celebrate as Christmas, the birth of the Son of God, was a miracle that attests to the truth of God's word. It is the coming Savior, the promise first given to Adam, and then given again to Abraham, and to David, and to all the people of the Old Testament, and finally, to us. The birth of this child would be unique among all future births. Isaiah did say some specific things about it, that it would be a boy, that he would be a son, that his mother in Hebrew would be a young unmarried woman. And to the Jew reading those words, that meant nothing other than a virgin, a woman who had not had sexual relations with a man. And his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it doesn't mean that God is with us in that God came to live a while among us, as a king might leave his castle and go to live among his people. The word really indicates that God became one of us. God became a human being. Isaiah saw this son born of a woman, true God, also true man. You and I confess that miracle of the virgin birth and that conception by the Holy Spirit. We did it again this morning in our creeds. We confess our faith that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that He was born of the Virgin Mary, that He is our Lord and Savior. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem is God's attestation to the promise that our sins are forgiven as we are reconciled to our Father through Him. In Hebrew, and also in King James, right before the prophecy, the virgin will conceive and be with child, there's the word, behold. It's sort of unfortunate the NIV left it out. Because God says to His people and to us, behold. It's a word that means, I'm going to tell you something that is of utmost importance. I'm going to tell you something that is really quite unique and wonderful. So really pay attention. So it's really, behold, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. It's very similar to what God said to Samson's mother when He told her that even in her barrenness, she would have a son. It's very similar to the words used as God promises Abraham and Sarah that He would give them in their old age, in their seemingly human impossibility to bear a child, that they too would have this son from whom the Savior of the world would come. The presence of God among His people appears in the birth of this child. This child is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the eternal Son of God. Surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of the mysterious. There's a lot of the supernatural, isn't there? Even among the lowliness of His birth. even among the commonness of his birth in that manger. What else could you call it when there are countless holy angels filling the sky, announcing his birth as the Savior of the world, as the favor of God resting upon all men? Think of those shepherds who were told by the angels to go and worship and find Jesus. And then God said, I'm going to give you a sign so you know that what I'm telling you is the truth. You'll find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. His mother Mary pondered all these things in her heart. There she was holding her son. There she was holding her God. Sometime later, some magi would come from the east because God had directed them and used a star to lead them to the house where Jesus and his family were living. And there they would bow down and worship him as the Holy Spirit worked saving faith in their hearts through the promise of Christ. They would recognize, as we do, that this lowly child, that this seemingly common-looking child, is wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This son would live under the law to redeem those under the law by his innocent death on the cross. He would come in our time of most desperate need, but he would not come with majesty and power, but he would come in humility in the form of a servant to give his life as a ransom for the many. The total number of humanity, all sinners, that number is great, and he gives that ransom for the whole world. And so you know that he is a ransom for you. Think back. A lofty mountain to which all the nations would come. A desert blooming with life through which passes the way of holiness. A little shoot sprouting from the stump of Jesse who would rule God's people, and now a virgin mother. These are the beautiful pictures and signs of the coming Savior and the glory that he would bring us as his people that we have looked at over the past weeks. Words that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us so that we will know who the baby is. Born in Bethlehem. He is Jesus the Christ. He is our God. He is our brother. He is our Savior. Welcome him with all your hearts. Amen.